17. I'm Cody Bogdanoff.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
And I'm Chris Elogie.
And yeah, we're the only ones here. Possible maybe people forgot to set their time ahead. I don't know. But that's a thing now.
No, I can connect a few dots. It's actual reasons.
Well, whatever the case, we're here and we're going to be talking about some stuff. Nothing earth-shattering this week, but a lot of little things to discuss. And, yeah. I should probably also mention a little bit of a program note. If all goes well, next week we will have Mike from V7 Entertainment to hopefully talk about old-time hockey and whatever the heck else we happen to want to talk about. So, yeah.
That'll be a good show.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So, that's a thing. So before we get into the news proper, I should probably talk a little bit about what we've been up to this week, because, I don't know, I'm pretty sure you've been playing stuff. I've been doing some things, playing around with the new stuff that released on the Xbox One preview stuff. What have I done? Yeah, I tested out Beam, did a little bit of streaming through the Xbox One via Beam, and I can clearly see why Microsoft bought them.
Really?
Yeah. The streaming quality on Beam is excellent. And the latency is really, really low.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Like, I was so low to the point where I was actually almost able to play the game via the stream. Yeah. That's how low the latency was. So it wasn't, you know, quite playable, but...
So it was like PlayStation Now Lite.
Yeah, almost. I mean, that's not really what it's made for. It's more, you know, the low latency is more for interactivity and stuff. Yeah. But, it's really good. It works really well. The integration with the Xbox One dashboard is quite nice. You don't have to launch an app to go and do the streaming. Just hit the guide and you can drop down a couple of tabs and it's there. It's really, really, really well done. I'm looking forward to doing more of that. Now that it's so easy to stream via that, I'll probably end up doing more of it. Because it's good stuff. Also figured out that the Xbox One is sort of turning into a computer, because it now has a file manager.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yep. There's now a file manager on the Xbox One, and you can, if you have, like, USB drives and stuff, you can plug those in and copy files to and from them. I'm not entirely sure where this is going, but given the folders that are there, there's like folders for 3D models, folders for music, movies, pictures, you know, just the basic stuff that you would find in My Documents on a Windows system. Yeah, I think maybe these two things are starting to merge a little bit, so yeah. I'm not expecting to do my Word documents on the Xbox One anytime soon, So, still.
I'm just surprised they went full out with a file manager, because doesn't that open the door for all kinds of modding?
Possibly. Yeah, so maybe they'll...
Replace a file... I don't know.
It
just seems very un-console.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it doesn't give you like full file system access. It only gives you a limited tree.
Sounds like Android.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. Let's see where the Xbox One is going. Pretty sure the creator's update's going to be out in the next couple of weeks now, because we're running out of March. But I like it. They're definitely in bug bash mode right now, because the last few updates haven't really added much in the way of features, but they've been fixing a lot of stuff. So my Xbox One is now usable again, which is great. I love the time when I turned it on and it like refused to sign me in no matter what I did. Yeah, well, that was awesome.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. So I actually had to reboot the console, and then it was like, oh, okay, I can do that.
See, this is why I don't sign up for that program.
Yeah. Well, I like to live on the edge, you know. Yeah, it's possible I'll end up picking up an Xbox One S, or probably maybe just wait for Scorpios. We know that's coming at the end of this year, so.
Yeah, that seems like a better use of your money.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And I'm just thinking how much trouble I would have replacing an Xbox One right now if some unfortunate fate were to befall mine.
Yeah. Would kind of suck.
Yeah.
At least the prices have come down since you bought yours.
That's true.
And Kinect is basically like pointless.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got mine sitting there. I don't think it's even connected.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I've just got other things in the closet that yeah. take up the space.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's connected, but, Cortana ignores me most of the time anyway, so. I don't know. We have a very fragile relationship, me and her. So maybe we'll work it out in the end. I don't know. Anyways, but what have you been up to, Pat?
Switch stuff.
Yeah.
Still feeling the launch rush. It's good. Pretty much getting ready to put a bow on the Fast Remix review. I imagine today. Bomberman's still a little ways off, but not that far. And it's also going to be the subject of my next YouTube video, so be on the lookout for that. Basically pointing out that the Switch is not revolutionary, and that's okay.
Mm. Yeah.
And more or less talking about not only Nintendo's return to convention, but the fact that they're adding their voice and influence to a cause that Sony has been really chasing after for nearly a decade now, and a very worthwhile one at that.
Do you think Nintendo is backing away from the home console marketing of the Switch?
No.
They should, because it's a far better portable, or at least movable, console than like a dedicated home console.
Because I don't think it works if it doesn't have that side of it. It's like I said on the launch special, this is not a handheld.
It's a little big for a handheld.
Yeah. And honestly, too fragile. I would say that the entire appeal is in just destroying the line between console and handheld. And that's, Sony, ever since the PSP 2000, has been working toward that end themselves. They've been attacking it from the handheld side of things. Nintendo is attacking it from the console side, and they seem to really be onto something. But no matter how they go about it, the important thing is that it's happening.
Yeah.
And so I really feel in the next few years, especially if Sony gets a new handheld or some kind of portable out there, even if it's just a portableized PS4, which would be fantastic. I really think we're going to see the end of games getting quote unquote relegated to handheld, or otherwise seeing games go exclusively to console that you want to take with you on the go. This is the beginning of the end of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that in and of itself gets me excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe with a couple more hardware revisions, I don't mean major, revisions like an S model or whatever, something like that, just to refine what they've got. They'll probably end up with something, really good here. Yeah. DS took a couple of revs before they got it right. So I imagine that's probably going to be, they basically owned that market just once when they did get it right. So, yeah. So I feel like the Switch is kind of like, it is a handheld, but it's a handheld that also happens to give you the extra value add of being able to dock it to your TV and just chill and play that way. I don't know. Do you see anybody out there with Switches?
Not in the portable sense. I just I mean, my usage of the Switch has been 100% console. I've taken it out of the I've taken it out of the dock maybe, well, no more than a number I can count on one hand. And one of those was to do some setup stuff, and another one was to install the screen protector. So I've really not been utilizing it as a handheld at all. As far as other people go, I've not really seen any Switches in the wild, and I've been looking, believe me. If I am on the bus or at work and I see somebody playing what looks to be a handheld game or maybe a tablet game, I'm looking to see if there's a Switch there, but so far there's been nothing. So, I don't know, maybe that just needs time.
Yeah, I think right now we're in the part of the launch where people who do want it some are having trouble getting it. So.
Yeah. Although it seems to be less the case with this system than past launches.
Yeah, but and supply is still a little bit limited right now. But yeah, I really very much like what I'm seeing of the Switch so far. It's not hugely powerful, it's better than the Wii U was, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, and honestly, that there have been moments in all the games that I've played where even though the system isn't that powerful, I find myself saying, yes, these are the sights and sounds that I want attached to a system launch. And so the experience isn't at all undercut by the hardware specs.
Yeah.
I think we've reached a point in gaming, at least for me, where I'm sitting here like, okay, yeah, this is a video game. Differences in hardware specs are a lot less noticeable for me now. But I don't know. Usually the only time I have a problem is when frame rate dips or something.
Yeah, and you see that
But
in Breath of the Wild a
honestly, that
lot.
hasn't been a problem
Yeah,
on this.
so that's pretty much it. Just just eyeball deep in the Switch this week.
Pretty much. I did play a little Street Fighter V last night. Giving Fusion Lounge, the local gaming joint, some business. And but yeah, it's mainly been the Switch. I'm thoroughly enjoying this.
Cool. So how about you, Chris? You been up to anything?
I've been playing a lot of games for not that much time, but still putting in some work. Horizon, I am pushing more into that. Doing more side quest stuff. I got to a point where now there are bandits around, and so occasionally I see like packs of machines attacking people. I'm like, what the hell is this? It's like, oh, these are bandits. So I can just kill them too. Yeah, and taking down a sawtooth without taking too much damage, which is good. Because those things so far, like the big enemy that I really do not want to face if I can help it. This little quest ended up me going to this sort of secluded area. Them and two of the watchers, which are very easy enemies, you just shoot them in the eyes and they go down one hit. And they kind of ran off to a side of the area and just stayed over there. Like, that's weird. So I just proceeded to snipe off the two watchers, set up like a trap with a trip caster, which essentially sets up like an electrified rope. Or you could have it, I think, other elements, but you just shoot the two ends in front of it. Like, okay, now I'm going to start just shooting it. It runs into the trip caster thing, gets electrified and stunned for a little while. And it's like, okay, just go to town on this thing. Got like 75% of its health down and just dodged as many of its big attacks as I could. Healed up when I forgot. Yeah, it's really good. There was one weird area where I was just hanging around, just and I pull up the radar vision thing where it sort of lets you see all the animals and whatnot around you. And I see these four orange people, which are the bandits. I just see them running. It's like, what the hell is this? They're just running along the path. So I'm sitting here hidden in some tall grass. Just watch them come by and just snipe them, take them out without taking too much damage. And it's really weird now. There's other people that aren't just the static NPCs that stand around just for whatever reason in one spot for the rest of time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's machines like 100 feet from you, but you're just standing here ready to sell stuff to whoever walks by. That weird little
you do you
dissonance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, also been playing more Zelda. After conquering Kakariko Village, I climbed up a mountain near it. Started looking around, just noting more towers and such.
That's how you play it.
And found my way over to the Zora's domain. After they sort of revealed the whole thing, like, you gotta go to these four main areas and do their stuff and get their special weapon whatnot so you can unite everybody to take on Ganon, I guess. So I'm in the middle of that, which that whole area is interesting because it's raining constantly, so you can't really climb too much, which is a problem because I like climbing. But sort of in the middle of all of this, this is where like the lizard people are at. So they will occasionally just fall asleep on the job, and some of them camouflage themselves as well. So there's sometimes where I just don't know they're there, but trying to be as stealthy as I can.
You'll learn what to watch for.
Yeah, but it's like I walk around, it's like there's a guy 20 feet ahead of me. He's like, oh, crouch, try and get a sneak kill on him. I did that to like
those
these
are so
three.
Fun.
I did that to these three that were hanging around. They're like on different levels, and figured out how to light up this cook pot so I could cook some stuff. And then the blood moon happens, and they show right back up again. Because
that happens
those
at the
don't
worst
know,
possible times.
Yeah, the how it solves the problem of enemies not respawning is that like every so often, the blood moon shows
hours
up.
Of play, I would say,
and it replenishes all the enemies around. Which supposedly there was somebody that beat the final boss and had that happen right after it, or respawn
right
the final boss.
God damn it!
Fixed his life bar.
Yeah. So that's how far that whole system goes. So I had to take
people
them
talking
back
about wanting Nintendo to patch that, and I was. Shit, it's not happening often. It's a good story. Let it ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the system. And I'm not liking the cooking stuff because it's real hard to... Like, I had to pull up, like, a recipe list. It's not a full list because I made something that wasn't on there. But I just wanted to cook the meat I had, so I had some quick, good replenishing health items instead of just eating as many apples as I can fit. And it's too tedious. You should just be able to like easily repeat. You should have like a recipe book and be able to say, okay, I want to cook this again. So just put all the items if I have
just,
them.
Just trails in the sky it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just make it easy to do that. Otherwise you're just sitting there like, okay, go back to the inventory, hold, add this item, throw it in. It's just takes too long. Stealth's not great. Like, you can climb up walls and they can hear it somehow.
I don't think Nintendo's ever done stealth well.
Yeah. But then that just causes a whole mess. It's like, I want to climb up so I can get behind them. But that's impossible if you're too close or don't even know that there's enemies there because you don't have any sort of radar system to see them. And it's there's lots of little things like that. Though I did in this area, I had some thunderstorms come through and found a group of enemies. And what's cool is if you have metal swords or shields, or I'm guessing there might be metal bows. If you have those equipped, you can get shocked by the lightning. And so I came upon a couple of enemies, and two of them have it. And they do a good job of showing you when it's about to hit them.
Mm. It's not subtle.
No.
Yeah, it's like shows like electricity kind of sparking off their items.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you guys are going to get fucked up. yeah, it's as good as it can be, but the rain kind of mitigates that a lot because it'll catch grass on fire, but since it's raining, it goes out real quick.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. But then this thing just... You guys got me?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, my headset just went nuts. And the storm just kept going for a while, taking down trees, just in general kind of scaring the shit out of me because it's like, there's nothing else here that needs to be killed. I just don't want to be in the vicinity. So I had to go find like a little covered up area and just hide under there for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of hoping that I could find more enemies and just see if anything happens to them, but no. So I've just been making my way through it. A little bit away. This is like a really long path. Because it's kind of like its own dungeon, but not really a dungeon. Trying to kind of get to a point where I get an area I can warp to. Because I keep seeing caves and such around. It's like, it took so long to get up here. I'm not going to screw that just to go to a cave.
Yeah.
It's down there. Because obviously you can't even climb up the walls because it's raining constantly. That sort of stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I kind of wish I didn't bother with this so I could just keep more doing the exploring stuff a little bit more. Because this is just... It's linear, but it's not linear.
Yeah.
Because it's still lots of options. I was taking out dudes with my bow and kind of fucking around with them. Because you hit them with the bow once, and if it's not strong enough to kill them, the lizard guys are just like darting around real quick, looking around, just like, where the hell did this come from? Where the hell? What the hell? Who shot me? Just spinning around a lot. And it's real fun, especially when you got a good vantage point that they can't see.
Mm.
So it's like a weird Batman aspect to it I got.
Mm.
And sort of I've also been playing some more Trails of Cold Steel. I'm on the second field study trip, which they put you with Machias and Juices. So you got to deal with that whole thing where they both hate each other.
Yeah.
I expect at some point they're going to find a common reason to not bicker back and forth as we just got like a temporary truce going. Mm. Still working my way through it. I like the whole Persona day calendar thing is pretty much not what it seemed like at first, as it's just more of a way of telling you like when time passes rather than, oh, every day you're going to see who you're going to hang out with. Hmm. I've had 2 days out of the first like month and a half of the calendar to actually hang out with people. And one of them was hanging out with the teacher that drinks in the dorms, which is a funny little thing. She offers him, Reen, the main character, something. It's like, oh, I won't tell anybody. It's like, okay, this is weird.
Hmm.
Also been playing some No Man's Sky, which we'll be talking a bit more about things that are going on with that a little bit later, but they've put in a lot of work with the new update, and I decided to just start a new world, new save, and just see how big of a change it is. And what's especially nice is when I originally started, I fucked up the whole beginning, because of the pre-order bonus, sort of negating your need to do certain quests, but you still needing those quests to get vital items.
Yeah.
So that you could explore the worlds and the galaxies and such properly. So now I'm doing it right. It's actually a lot better. So I'm trying to get to a certain point where I can start building a base, because there's some dudes I can recruit, but I want to get onto a nice planet instead of ones that just look weird.
Yeah.
They look like if Mars had some fauna on it. Just kind of looks a little bit weird, but yeah, looking for a good planet to sort of sit down and do some of the base stuff, because there's some really cool stuff they've added in that department. And along with that, I've been playing some Clicker Heroes, which is out on consoles this week, this past week. And that continues this weird trend of clicker idle games on consoles. And after Adventure Capitalist kind of petered out because the devs stopped supporting it.
Yeah.
The controls aren't very good. And their whole live event stuff that they do about once a month has never happened on the consoles. Even though there's a big section that says, "Events coming soon." Like, no, it's not. You've abandoned this game for whatever reason. And so, yeah, that's kind of a non-starter. So now this one is at least looking good so far. The devs put out a patch the other day to fix a couple of small issues. One of them was I turn off the music and sound effects, and when I come back for another session, they'd be on again. Like, that's not how saves work.
No.
You're supposed to save everything, not just save what they want. So they fixed that and some other things. So hopefully they keep updating it alongside the PC and phone versions. And so far, so good. As a cheap source of trophies and achievements.
Yeah.
That's out on Xbox One as well.
Cool.
Just in time for them to get rid of Snap.
Yeah.
That would have been a pretty good use for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how.
You just got the one Snap game.
Yep. No, threes. I don't think that's even going to survive anymore, so we'll see how that goes.
But you could play it full screen.
Yeah, you can play full screen, but the whole fun of that one was.
Nobody cares about that game anymore.
Yeah.
At least not on consoles. Play it.
Yeah. It's a fun diversion.
Yeah. That's been mostly it. Oh, yeah, I figured out a way to, this will lead into the next topic. I figured out how to kind of solve my external hard drive having issues upon startup.
Yeah.
I just do the disconnect before I shut it down in rest mode.
Huh.
It's not the best way that it should go, but I get no more issues when I start up.
Yeah.
Because it's already connected, so it just automatically does its thing when it starts up. So it's normally like, you didn't shut it down properly. I didn't shut it down at all.
So, yeah. With that in mind, we've got PS4 firmware version 4.50, which came out this week. If you're a PS4...
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's pretty big. For PS4 is in auto update mode, you'll probably have gotten this automatically. Otherwise, just go ahead and go check for updates and you should get it. Lots of stuff in here.
Yeah, external hard drive support for up to 8 terabytes.
Yep.
Boost mode for the boost PS4 Pro.
For PS4
That's the
Pro,
big one, I think.
Which some people are calling beast mode for some reason. Because
it's not
internet,
wrong.
Yeah.
But it only works for games that don't have locked frame rates.
Yeah.
So it can help those if they dipped below.
Mm.
I know Just Cause 3 got a lot of help with that. Even Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yeah, if you didn't patch it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so that can help a good bit of games. Mm. They also did some stuff for PSVR, as that got an update alongside it.
Yeah, you can play 3D Blu-rays on PSVR now.
Yep, and they also improve the cinematic mode to play non-VR games.
Hmm.
So that stuff will look a lot better. Also improve the frame rate for that stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so, if you use a smaller, medium screen size, it jumps it up to 120 hertz instead of 90.
So. Yep. They also changed the What's New section so you can actually post to that.
Yeah. That's good, because nobody looked at it otherwise.
Yeah. And probably still won't look at it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also updated their various separate apps for messages and communities and such.
Yeah.
To, I guess, let them be more autonomous.
Yeah.
Theme
customization is another thing that's in there.
Yeah, you can do the screenshots, use them as backgrounds for the dashboard, which is cool. They added voice chat to remote play.
Yeah.
On a PC or, I guess just PC is what they're using it. Which is cool.
Yep.
Talk to people while you're streaming. So I guess they figured out how to lessen their bandwidth for that so they can get some more stuff in there.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And yeah, lots of stuff. Big update for the PS4 that they've been needing for a little while now.
Yeah. But you still can't change your PSN ID. So fail.
Not yet.
Yeah. But yeah, it's decent update. Dad will be happy because he'll be able to use his external drive now and actually be able to install games again, so that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in other PS4 news, so we got Gran Turismo Sport, which has a public beta coming soon.
Closed beta.
Well, closed, but you can sign up for it.
Yeah. I guess this one's going to start showing off some of that, how that game works. So they talk about the driver profile. I tried to, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried it with my alternate account, see if I get through. Since my main one somehow gets blocked.
Yeah.
So they're going to show off the driver profile, which, what is the car game on PC that's subscription-based? The driving game?
iRacing.
Yeah, I think that's what this sounds like. Where they have a sportsmanship rating, which tracks your behavior and your manners. as well as the driver rating to just represent how good of a driver you are.
Yeah,
I can already imagine the Penny Arcade strip about this.
Yeah. And so they're hoping that feeds into the matchmaking and all that, make it easier to get into people of similar mindsets and skill.
Oh man, spectating against a grid of 16 jerks would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be a nice way of the way that like fighting games put shitty people into their hell of playing against other shitty people. It's
yes,
sort of a cool like natural way of doing that for this. So I guess they're gonna have a number of tracks in this, and it sort of swaps out on a timed basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says their servers will be open for users for specific times across the day. Yeah. Check out that if you get into it.
Yeah. Give it a look. That game's supposed to come out this year, so hopefully they're at the tail end of development.
Supposed to come out this season.
Yeah. Be buying that one. Even if I don't play online, there's going to be a good single player there, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And vaguely related to PlayStation, we got Naughty Dog co-president Christoph Balestra, who's leaving the company.
Yeah, after 15 years with the company.
Yeah.
He is stepping down. He's been co-president for the past 12 with Evan Walls. And he says that he wants to pursue fulfilling personal ambitions and projects. Seems like he wants to take a break. I know he's a big fan of, like, marathons and such.
Yeah.
So maybe focusing more on that and hanging out with his family.
Yeah. Well, he's going to see residuals for Uncharted and stuff, so...
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be hurting for money anytime soon, so...
Yep.
Yeah. Time to take a break, so that's pretty good. Hey, if you got the option to do it, why the hell not, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So another news, Quake Champions, another beta sign up, which is now available. You can go there and, you know, sign up for the beta and hopefully get in and play the new Quake. Interesting business model on this one. It's free to play unless you really don't want it to be, and then you can buy it.
Yep. Yeah, you can do the grinding for more of the champions, but if you just want to skip all that, you can just say, hey, here's
$60, here's your game.
Yeah, I don't think I've set a price, but
yeah,
here's my credit card, just give me everything.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, I find.
Yeah.
Well, it also kind of builds in a demo to the game, just by doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it worked for
Killer Instinct. They're really counting on the other champions being worth the money, too.
Yeah. Well, they'll be, going to be for different styles. I mean, the Ranger is basically the typical Quake guy, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it looks good.
I need.
Yeah, I'm going to sign up for this and hopefully get in and play me some Quake. It's been a long time. So,
I miss Quake.
Yeah, this very much looks like Quake, so I think we'll be happy with this one.
I also miss Unreal Tournament.
Oh, you can play that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like new stuff from the brand.
That's the new one is like there, and you can download it and play it.
It's all Steam Workshop-y.
Yeah,
it's like totally stuff for it.
Yep. Yeah, it just kind of soft launched. Nobody really talked about it, but yeah, it's there.
It's part of the Epic Games app.
Yeah, which nobody
has.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I installed it for Shadow Complex when they made that free.
Me too.
I don't think I've started it for probably 8-10 months.
Yeah, it'll probably update itself next time you do, and maybe there'll be Fortnite in there probably. But yeah, that's what's going on over in Bethesda land. Well, part of it anyway. The other thing going on is John Carmack is suing ZeniMax for about $22.5 million because ZeniMax apparently doesn't want to pay him his last stock cash out for the sale of id Software, allegedly.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're down to the final payment for that whole acquisition.
Yeah.
They're not paying.
Yeah. ZeniMax seems awfully shady lately.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it.
Not all that long ago that they seemed to be in a pretty good place.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they've got Bethesda, they've got id. You know, they're making all kinds of games that people want, and maybe that's going to their head a little bit, and I think they can do just about anything. But, I'm pretty sure the courts are going to sort that out.
It is a story we've seen countless times throughout gaming history.
Yeah.
When you have effectively assembled your own private Death Star, you suddenly start going around acting like somebody who has assembled their own private Death Star.
Yeah. It's happened to Activision. I'm pretty sure that's starting to bite them in the ass now. So,
We'll
see how that goes.
Nintendo was kind of the example.
Yeah.
I guess John Carmack thinks ZeniMax has kind of a sour grapes thing going on. That now that he is with Oculus, they're not very happy. Don't want to essentially be paying somebody to work somewhere else.
Well, you bought his company and you agreed to pay that money out. So, business is business, and if you got a problem with that, then don't be in business. That's what I think, anyway.
Especially with people of the caliber of John fucking Carmack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't need the money at this point.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I guess John Carmack and his lawyers were contacting ZeniMax recently to inquire about the money, and it says here, on March 2nd, 2017, ZeniMax's general counsel responded to Mr. Carmack's conversion notice and sale offer. By that letter, ZeniMax made it clear that the company would not voluntarily comply on a timely basis with the conversion notice. The content and tone of the letter also made it clear that ZeniMax was unlikely to comply with its obligations under the shareholders agreement by either buying the offered shares or notifying the other shareholders of their right to purchase them.
So they told him to go fuck himself.
Yep.
Yeah, this could end up backfiring on them.
Yeah.
It could end up with John Carmack having a pretty nice stake of id Software again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure that's something you want to do. I don't think John Carmack really wants to be in that biz anymore, but...
Yeah.
You know, yeah, just pay the guy, jeez. It's not that hard.
Well, just the legal mess that it would create by having him get that ownership stake flipped back. I don't think anyone wants to deal with that.
No, it'd be just a legal nightmare, but, well, the board is made up of a bunch of rich white people, so...
It's true.
Yeah, sometimes they may be rich, but, you know, sometimes they're not all that smart, so you never know.
They love to be litigious, too.
Yeah. They love to litigate.
We're going to see about the name of your game that's somewhat not really similar to you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got a game called Rage. Your game is called Phoenix Rage. People might kind of not be able to tell the difference, even though one's an indie game, one's an id game.
Yeah, and by the time the indie game came out, the id one was irrelevant anyway. Moving on, we got news from Harmonix. They're teaming up with Hasbro for a new iOS Android game called Drop Mix, which looks to be a combination of DJ Hero and Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a weird little, I don't even know what you would call this thing, like a board that you put cards on that represents tracks of a song.
Yeah.
Like bass or vocals or these various things, and you put them on there, and that somehow changes the music, and somehow you compete against other people.
Yeah.
It's not really explained too well.
Yeah,
video or anything either.
We need more information, because this just looks weird and unclear and maybe not finished, so...
Clusterfucky?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is Harmonix, and I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. But at the same time, like they're
teasing something and not
doesn't necessarily mean it isn't a clusterfuck.
Well, yeah, there was that weird sports title that they did for the Apple TV that nobody played.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's sort of like how they had the Rock Band VR and nobody knew how you were supposed to play it.
Yeah, until it came out.
Still kind of don't.
No. Yeah, because it's only out on one VR platform. Well, actually, I'm not even sure it's out yet, but it should be soon.
It's coming out in a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah.
So. They're still announcing like what the career mode is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's pretty late.
Yeah, still pretty late. It took them a long time to announce the fact that it's only the guitarist, so it's not really Rock Band. It's more like, well, Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, you get like a guitar controller and then you put something on it, like either the touch controller or something special to them. I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on over there, but...
That's like how it tracks the guitar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would work. So.
Yeah. It's just a weird, inelegant thing.
Yeah.
You just stick the controller on your controller, and that's how we track it.
Yeah. And you have to have the touch controllers, too, so that's another barrier to entry.
At least they lowered those prices recently.
No, yeah, it's true. Yeah, the bundle for the Oculus with touch actually went down by $200, so that was a pretty good drop. I'm pretty sure VR is actually going to be affordable this year, maybe, sort of.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, this will be $99.99.
That's
for your free phone game.
That's an expensive phone game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll be selling card packs. They have 300 total. You get 60 with the board. Let's see, 16 cards for $20. 5 cards for 5. I have 300 cards by the end of the year. So it's a collectible card game and a physical thing and a phone app.
Okay. This could it could turn out to be really awesome, and we just don't know yet, so just have to wait and see. No Man's Sky got a big update. The Pathfinder update came out this week. You've been playing it. So
this is a huge update, much like the last one. Some of the things they're doing here, like visual updates, it supports PS4 Pro now with a 4K checkerboard rendering, as well as doing the 1080p 60 frames per second for the people that don't have the 4K TV. There's HDR, all that stuff. Ooh. They don't really go into that much detail, so that'll be up to Digital Foundry to figure all that out.
Yeah.
The PC version's also getting a lot of that stuff, higher res textures and all sorts of that stuff. Crepuscular rays from the sun. I don't know what the hell that is.
Jared Carmack knows, so.
Yeah. Let's see, the bases you create, you can actually share them online for others to check out and see what other people are creating. So that'll work with Steam Workshop on PC, as well as just through their own network stuff on PS4. So that's pretty cool.
I get the sense that they're creeping slowly back towards the online idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something when I first started up the new save, it's like, oh, do you want to share your base online? It's like, yeah, sure. I don't have one yet, but hey, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
They let you own multiple ships. That was one of the weird things about the original versions. You just kind of traded yours for the other one.
Yeah.
And the other one just became owned by nobody. Just stayed wherever it was. So you can have multiple ships. They've also specialized them. So there's four types: fighter, shuttle, hauler, and explorer. Fighter obviously is good for combat. Shuttle is good all arounder. Haulers are for cargo, and explorer is for getting around quickly. They're all rated from C to S. I've seen B's mostly when I've looked at stuff on the big space station.
Yeah.
They're far too expensive for me, so that's all good. They did the same thing with the guns. So now there are four different types of guns. Pistol, rifle, experimental, and alien guns. The same sort of class rating system. And all the same sort of mods that you can attach to that to add new abilities or make them better. They also added for your base new vehicles, land-based vehicles, exocraft is what they're calling them. There's the Nomad, which is more of a quick exploration vehicle that can glide over water. The mid-range is a roamer, which is able to get around on rugged terrain and be fairly good all-around type of vehicle. Then there's the Colossus, which looks like a Mars rover. That's one that has a ton of cargo space, so you can use that for your mining trips. And you have to get hire special technicians for your base to open up new missions to get you this stuff, which is pretty cool. They're also adding races for the exocraft.
Okay.
And that's part of the base. You put down like a race initiator and do your set up your checkpoints and all that stuff, and then do your own lap times. And as other people check out your base, they can also compete against your split times. It's a bit of a weird way to go about that, so I doubt many people will do that.
Yeah.
But still, that's a cool thing to add to it.
Yeah.
The shops and traders have also been changed up. So when I went to the space station, there was the trader as well as like four guys hanging around him. And they all look at you as you come in. Probably every other time I came in over like the next few minutes, as I went back and forth to my ship. As by the end, I was expecting them to say, "Fuck you! Get out, you stupid idiot! Figure out which way you want to go and go there." They have a new currency called nanite clusters that used to purchase blueprints. So if you're not completely full up on most of the blueprints, you can go buy some stuff there if you want. They refresh every so often. And they make it easier to see your standings with the different races, so that that's on the journey screen, which shows like all your milestones and doing the various stat things.
Yeah.
I'll show you, okay, you're rank 2 with the Gek, and that puts you at this one, and this is what you have to do to rank up. It's like, because certain classes are all just about exploration, some are just about helping them out, some are just about buying stuff from them.
Mm.
So that makes it a lot easier to understand that. Makes it more of a thing that you can actually affect.
Yeah.
Actually exist in the game, so that you know, I didn't have something for one of the NPC guys I talked to, and he's like, ah, fuck you. And I lost standing with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they got that stuff in there. More variety for the base building. So more just not only visual customizations, but just more items. Things like color lights, stairs, observation domes, and obviously like the pads for the vehicles themselves.
Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. They got new textures for them, like wood, stone, metal, and colors. More decals. They say you can earn extra decals by visiting other players' bases.
Hmm.
So it might be like a certain subset that you get, and then you visit other people's bases and you get their set as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, that's new weapon modes as well. So I think those will be some of the mod stuff, new mod stuff for the guns. They show like a shotgun, like close range thing. Sounds a bit more rifle-esque, longer range. They call it Blaze Javelin, which is weird. That sounds more like what Stormtrooper guns do.
Yeah.
Almost like a just fires a weird laser. The ships also
sounds like something I would drive in F-Zero.
Yeah. And the ships have their own special types of weapons that you can get to. There's like the shotgun-esque thing. Another one that is, let's see, a concentrated ball of charged particles. So that seems like a big electric ball kind of thing. Another one called an infra knife accelerator, which is like a minigun. Yeah, sustained burst of rapid fire.
Yeah.
And along with all of this, they added photo mode and new visual filters that are just weird. One kind of makes it look like, I don't know which kind of old monitor display look. It's got the green
look to it. Yeah, amber display. Yeah.
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 There's like black and white and all these other things. If you want the game to not look as good as it normally does.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, it's all brown. It's like, oh, that looks like shit. That's the sort of thing you'd use for the pictures, I guess.
Yeah. But so you could like play the game that way, so okay.
And it's like, oh, here's everything's in black and white. It's mostly black. It's like, that looks like I'm not going to play this way.
Nope.
I was indoors and I could barely see anything.
Hmm.
Along with that, they added two new modes, or one new mode, permadeath mode.
Yeah, so
it's so like the survivor mode.
Yeah.
And you get one life. If you die, it deletes your save.
Yeah. I'm sure three people will enjoy that.
Yeah, they added new trophies for that. Mm. The survival mode also got some tweaks to, what did they say, dying in space will now restart you on the nearest planet's surface, away from your crash ship. So since you have to go on like a loot run, go back to your ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it seems like they're still plugging away at it.
Yeah, they added more music from 65 Days of Static.
Mm.
So that's cool. It's like a free thing.
Yeah.
Like, crap, there's even more about here. Okay, we got enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. It's a big update. Support
for all the, let's see, HD, Intel HD graphics. Yeah,
so lots more of PCs will be able to play it.
Yeah, it lets you skip past the journey milestone thing that pops up, because after it just takes like 10 seconds of it sitting there.
Yeah.
They tell me you've found enough to get to the next rank of your words thing. It's like, yeah, and you can rename your ships. So you can name your gun the BFG if you want.
Of course.
Even if it's not that, but
yeah. But you could.
Yeah. And they make it easier to get that, find your planets so you can set like waypoints, make it easier to find your way back. A lot of stuff.
A lot of quality of life stuff in there.
Yep.
I wonder if it'll bring people back, because a lot of people just gave up on it very shortly after launch. So, we'll wait and see.
Probably that, and attract some more new people that have been waiting to see what's going on.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We got Destiny's upcoming Age of Triumph event.
Well, there's the other story with Hello Games.
Oh, yeah, the funding initiative.
Yeah, so they announced at Sean Murray's GDC talk that they're starting Hello Labs, which is a funding initiative aimed at procedural generation or experimental games. Because Sean talked at his GDC talk about how one of the big issues they had is that they kind of ran out of money. So this is an initiative kind of to help other developers sort of not run into the same issues that they had.
Yeah.
And so they got one developer already on board, looking for maybe one or two more. But yeah, it's always cool to see indie devs that do well, pay it back, and help out other devs.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now we'll talk about Destiny.
So
we know Destiny is kind of wrapping up soon. They're doing a big event to kind of do that. We're pretty sure Destiny 2 is going to come out this year, because there's some big contractual obligation things going on with Activision and Bungie right now. So,
yeah
what's this Age of Triumph event all about?
So, yeah, this is an event. They're still kind of revealing parts of it. They revealed the big thing, which is that it's kind of a celebration of all things Destiny that you've been doing for the last, 3 years at this point?
Yeah,
two and a half, 3 years. And essentially, they are, the big part of this event is the new record book, which is sort of there like an in-game achievement system of, say, hey, do these things, and it sort of levels up your book, kind of like Dota's Compendium.
Yeah.
Except you don't have to pay for it most of the time, I guess. And so this book has like pages dedicated to like things you did in the first year of the game, second year, I'm guessing this year, to the raids, to the story missions, to a lot of the stuff that's in the game, collectibles, things like that. And
this is going to be like the ultimate completionist's guide.
To a degree, it sort of helps document the things you've done. And sort of this is going to feed into Destiny 2 as you complete things. They'll be able to say, okay, you've done this and this and this. Here are your rewards for Destiny 2.
Yeah.
And the normal books, whenever they've had these, they've been like 4 or 5 pages. This one's 13. But
That's big.
And sort of along with this, they're kind of buffing up some of the other old raids so that they will start giving gear that's at the 390, 400 level of what the newer ones have, and sort of give people good reason to go back to that stuff. And so they're not just getting like crappy rewards if they try to do it. They got, I think, 2 more streams to announce stuff over the next week or two. And they're saying the first weekly raid that's going to return for this is March 28th. For Crota's End, which is the second raid. I think Vault of Glass is in there, and King's Fall. Those are the first 3 raid dungeon areas. They're not increasing the light level past 400. Just want to get everything else up to that.
Yeah.
So that everybody can just play everything.
Yeah.
And try and build up this book. Yeah, they said their loot tables for these raids are going to be, quote, generous as heck in their live stream friendly language. So, yeah, it seems like a pretty good way of just sort of celebrating all the cool stuff that Destiny has offered over the last few years, even if everything hasn't been necessarily what people wanted or expected.
Yeah. But,
and hopefully with Destiny 2 coming up, they'll be able to better nail what everyone has wanted, even the developers themselves.
Yeah. Well, if they can, you know, like, it looks like they're trying to do at least some kind of persistence for between one Destiny 1 and 2. Yeah. So I'm glad they're trying that at least. So.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because they announced last week that they weren't bringing over like all of your stuff. Like your loot, your weapons, your customization items.
Yeah.
It's mainly you're going to bring over your character. They're going to reset in terms of level.
Yeah.
But they'll also give you stuff for doing the various accomplishments.
Yeah.
And that's what this book is going to be able to keep track of. Hmm. And it's all going to be free and should be starting up
in a few weeks.
A couple weeks, yeah.
So in some strange news, if you were looking to play Conan Exiles on the Xbox One, you will not have a penis slider.
No penises at all.
No penises in the Xbox One version of Conan Exiles. If you want your penises, you have to go to the PC version.
Yep, that's Dong Central.
Yep, Dong Central. Steam Workshop, if you want extra large dongs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because, yeah, I like their quote here. It's just going to be off by default, I think. I don't know if partial nudity might be okay. We haven't spoken to Xbox about breasts. They do allow breasts in some of their games, but the penises definitely won't be there.
Yeah.
And they talk about...
it's obvious what that would lead to anyway.
Yeah. They talk about dick localization problems. There was a lot of talk from our team in Japan because the game is translated in a lot of languages, and the Japanese translation team said... you'll be banned in Japan because you have penises. That's a flat-out ban. But we haven't heard anything.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess this is coming to PS4 as well at some point, but no word on
whether penises will make it to the PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm betting not, but yeah. I haven't played a Conan game in so long, though.
Yeah, really, this one supposedly seems like it's promising.
Yeah.
Because this is an early access for people that don't know.
Yeah.
It's just early dicks right now.
Yeah, that's what the story is right now. It's like completely ignoring what the game actually is. So, yeah.
Well, there's a nice link to another article.
Isn't that kind of symbolic, though, of the state of gaming in 2017?
Kinda. Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah. Because the internet is
They got a related article about the devs wanting to add a castration mechanic.
Okay.
Well, it's probably so you can walk right if they're putting the slider in there.
Yeah.
In addition, we really want you to be able to harvest the heads of your foes and stick them on spikes outside and around your bases. Maybe even at some point, castration.
Mm. Okay.
Have your dick fortress.
It'll be a thing.
Yeah, it'll probably be a thing. Also, it makes perfect sense in context.
Yeah.
Because it is the Robert E. Howard world, which is like really brutal. So, yeah. But none on Xbox One. So there.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So, another story we got here. Steam reviews are no longer going to be counting reviews from people who didn't pay for the game. So, Steam codes.
Free weekends and all that.
Free weekends. Yeah, those don't count anymore.
Like I say, gifts, not codes.
Yeah.
So if you buy a copy for a friend.
That does count.
It does. I don't know.
Yeah, because somebody
at some point that stuff all gets confusing.
Yeah, so... man, Steam's reviews are such a mess anyway. Yeah. This kind of, I don't know if it really helps anything.
Whenever I have something to say, I go to Smashpad or YouTube anyway.
Yeah. It's like, I look at the Steam reviews, and it's like most of them seem to be an amalgamation of words.
Yeah.
They don't actually make a hell of a lot of sense. So, yeah. I applaud Valve for trying, but it think they got bigger problems right now because they got no curation whatsoever going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we don't really have a lot to say about that, really.
No, because we own too many games anyway.
Yeah, nobody's going to ever play them. So, yeah.
So make it a dollar, it doesn't matter how good it is.
Yeah. So we had a couple of character news here. First DLC character for KOF 14 is going to be Whip. Not all that surprising.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious from the silhouettes that they released. I'm still thrilled.
Yeah.
This character was one of my mains in King of Fighters 2002, and she looks like she is going to be arriving in King of Fighters 14 with pretty much all of her 2002 game intact.
Hmm.
So, yes, I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So that's going to be the first DLC character, and of course there's, what, three or four more coming afterwards?
Three from the looks of it.
Yeah.
But the door is open for more to come after that.
Yeah. So expect that. Pricing is, I think, still to be determined.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll keep you apprised of that when that develops. Other character news, Final Fantasy II's Emperor Mateus is coming into Dissidia Arcade.
This one came from way off the board.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't have expected that one.
That's what's going to make it a great game for all Final Fantasy fans in the end. So they're not just sticking to the principal characters that you always see all over Square Enix marketing surrounding any given game. They're going a little bit obscure on some of these, so really makes me look forward to seeing the rest of this roster pan out.
Yeah. So, yeah, this game is developing quite nicely. I mean, it's out in Japan, but, the characters are still coming
in. Arcades. The characters are still coming down, but there is talk that we're probably going to hear something about a console version during 2017, if not a release.
My guess would be E3.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying. So.
Certainly no later than TGS.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do we got here? Oh, yeah, Rain World is coming out March 28th on PS4 and PC. Oh, well, that's an interesting date, because that's also when Old Time Hockey is coming out. Yeah, this looks like a very interesting little game.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Some really great animation of this slug cat thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a slug cat, because
it's that's not quite a slug. Yeah. It's not quite a cat.
Yeah.
So what do you get?
It's slug cat. Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah. This will probably be worth checking out. I'm sure some of us are going to get it at Smashpad, and we'll probably end up doing reviews of it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out. But yeah, 2 weeks, you'll be able to pick that up on your PS4 or on Steam. So, yeah, check that out.
Yeah, more shit to buy over the next few weeks.
Yeah. Speaking of shit to buy, if you want Rhyme, it's $10 more on the Switch. Because
naturally.
Reasons. Yeah.
It's not unprecedented. So is Puyo Puyo Tetris, which will also be going to PlayStation 4. $10 under the cost of the Switch version when that happens.
That's obviously physical, though.
Yeah.
It's $10 more for physical. It's $10 cheaper on Nintendo for digital.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that's going
on. I'll pay that for the difference.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there should be a difference between physical and digital, but yeah, really?
You actually own the game when you have physical.
Yeah. But the if the digital version of Rhyme is $10 more than the digital version of Rhyme on the other platform, that's a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah, their quote is, we set prices for our products based on the costs of development and publishing for each specific platform.
Now, what's really going on here is, hey, the Switch is really hot right now. People will buy whatever the fuck they want, whatever the fuck we put out, because there aren't very many games there.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
That, and it might be the new proprietary cartridges.
Yeah.
They said here, I can confirm cost of manufacturing is also a factor, in addition to the statement below about development and publishing costs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Those cartridges do cost something.
Yeah, it's not cheap like a disc.
No.
And honestly, if digital games start consistently coming in cheaper than physical games, that might actually make a better case for digital.
Yeah.
And that's been happening with limited runs, physical prints of various PS4 and Vita games.
Yeah.
So we've been even 10, 15 bucks, something like twice as whatever it's been costing. So.
Yeah. So now we reach the Nintendo block of our show. First
that was
up,
kind of our warm-up.
Yeah. So, bye-bye, Box Boy, 3DS eShop on March 23rd. I'm sure, Chris, you're buying this immediately.
Yeah, this is going to be the nice, nice more shit I have to buy this fucking month. That'd be like three more games I got. That's 2 days after I get Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And a week before MLB.
Yeah. So,
fuck.
Well, that's why we have jobs.
At least this one's $5.
Yeah. At least they're not charging you too much for it.
Yeah. And I like the name, too.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yep, this is the last one.
Yeah. So.
The epic Box Boy trilogy.
Yep. So another Nintendo's Switch news. Apparently, it will be getting streaming apps eventually. Surprising absolutely nobody.
Yeah.
Well, they said it was going to happen, just it wasn't a priority at launch, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this the priority at launch was actually launching.
Yeah, it's part of this whole weird thing that Reggie's just being coy about what they're playing in the future. It's like, just tell us.
Yeah.
We want to know what's coming up as far as features and updates and that.
Hmm.
Instead of just saying, maybe. Maybe there'll be BC. We got 40 days left until the launch. Yeah. And we're not going to tell you about it.
Yeah. It's like, we'll only tell you about the games that are coming out 3 days before it launches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but despite all that, the Switch is still the fastest selling console in Nintendo's history. Okay. This doesn't surprise me, really.
Doesn't really say much because they haven't put out much before.
No, well, the Wii U, you can't really compare it to that because that kind of bombed when it came out.
That was easily available at launch.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have any problem finding that. The Wii actually kind of was really hard to get when it came out. So if they're selling at the level of the Wii or beyond that, that's actually pretty significant.
We'll just have to see how it goes as time goes on.
Yeah,
whether if
it peters out.
Whether the Wii's numbers just skyrocket past it.
Yeah.
As they got more stock in back then.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start. As unsurprisingly, Breath of the Wild is the best-selling game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, pretty much everybody that bought a Switch bought this game, so that shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, it wasn't my original plan to get it on day one, but things worked out in such a way that it was possible.
Yeah.
So,
Zelda being the best-selling launch title just ties in with the console being the best-selling launch.
Yep.
Yeah, that's basically how that
you
works.
You got more of them out there, more people can buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, their supply has been, it's still been pretty limited, but it's not like NES Classic levels of stupid.
Yeah, so. It's at least out there.
And to be fair, they ordered more of them.
Yeah, so there's more coming.
And Foxconn laughed at them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Foxconn, we're going to need a lot of these. We can't make that many. So, expect another production run soon, so... Yeah, chances are by the end of April, you'll probably be able to go into a store and get a Switch without too much trouble. So keep your eye on that if you're looking for one. Just be patient. And don't pay $800 on eBay.
No.
No.
No, wait until they return it.
Don't pay $400 on eBay.
Yeah.
And just wait until the scalpers return it and then go buy that.
Yeah. That's a much better idea. Yeah. And finally, on their Nintendo beat. Nintendo is denying issues with the Switch. Scratching screens? No, that's not happening. Wireless controller problems? Oh no, we're really not having those either. But Reggie's saying, if you do have these problems, please report them to us. It doesn't Isn't that what people have been doing on the internet?
I think he means report them to 1-800-255-3700.
Yeah, get in contact with their customer service team.
Yeah, like that works.
Have you tried resetting your router?
What does that have to do with scratching my screen? No, that's a bad
sign. Did you try jiggling your cable? Make sure it's a good cable.
Yeah. Oh God, it's funny because it's true. They go through the whole script before you can tell them, hey, that's not how this is working.
Did you try turning it on?
Oh dear. So yeah, the Switch, it's out there. It's still got some problems, but yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah. I'm wondering about those controller problems. Do worry me a little bit because it might mean another entire hardware revision of those game of the Joy-Cons. Very soon,
as long as I get it for free, that I don't care.
Yeah,
you got to do have to do an Apple of an hour bad here, and basically just give everybody a bumper. That's what they did when the first thing they did was say you were holding it wrong. Anyway,
yeah, there aren't any bad Xbox 360s. That's just isolated incident.
Isolated incidents. $2 billion recall later. Yeah, I think we figured that out. Xbox One failures haven't been all that bad though. I must say.
Yeah, they seem to have solid systems.
Yeah, and I seem to have figured that out.
Been pretty solid gen for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. PS4 did have a few little weird problems with the Blu-ray drive, but they worked that out. I haven't run into that on mine, so at least that's a good thing. Then again, I haven't actually put a drive disc into my PS4, so I wouldn't know. That may be a thing I should try. But with that, I think, we have a kind of a short show, but hey, we're here. I'd like to remind everybody, if you want to check us out, we're on the Facebooks, facebook.com/smashbadsocial or facebook.com/DayZeroUpdate. We're there. What else? Oh yeah, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, RSS, all of the above. Yeah, please do that. Subscribe to all the things.
Go to our YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/smashbad.
Yep.
See if in our videos stay after copyright issues.
Oh, YouTube copyright stupidity. I think we should just do the copyright deadlock like Jim Sterling does now. That's brilliant.
That'd be too much work.
You just have to use footage from two different things, two or more different copyrighted things, and then none of them can claim anything.
I want to say something's broken through. I've heard that.
Yeah.
So that trick doesn't necessarily work as well anymore on him.
Yeah. But, for the most part, it does. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Keep an eye on the show next week. We're going to probably have a guest from V7 Entertainment, the developers of Old Time Hockey. So with that, I'm Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you next week.